I said, we have been journeying through this idea of God's presence all the way from the Old Testament. And today we're still going to be in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. So the passage that Angela read for us this morning. So this idea of the presence of God was with the people of Israel. It was what showed that God was pleased with them. And if you review some of the things in the presence of God, it showed that the Lord was pleased with God's with his people. Also, it was the distinguishing mark that separated Israel from the rest of the nation. So Moses said, this is what's going to separate us, set us apart from the rest of the other nations. So sex God's people apart in the world, the presence of God also is going to hold you and I accountable. When we don't go, we don't play by God's rule, because he's going with us, he's going to be in our midst, he will hold us accountable. So we talk about, also will bring success. Remember the story of Joseph in Egypt. Interesting, when he was sold into slavery, chapter 39 of Genesis, it says that the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. The Lord was with Joseph and he was successful in everything he did. Even when Joseph went to prison, the text says that the Lord was with Joseph. So one of the things you and I learn about the presence of God is that because God is going with you does not mean that you are exempt from trials. Because remember, Joseph ended up in prison. And even there, he was successful. It was evident to the warden that God was with Joseph because he prospered in everything he did. So the presence of God being with Joseph made him successful. It was evident to anybody that was around Joseph. So the presence of God's being with us does not keep you from trials and tribulation. Doesn't keep you from temptation, because we see Joseph was tempted even though the Lord was with him. So we learn all that over there. You see, when God is with us, even the nasty and ugly situations in our lives, he turns into blessing, just as the story of Joseph and his brothers. Even the chaos and tribulation, because the Lord is with you, whatever nasty or ugly that happens to you, he might turn that for something good. Remember, that's what Joseph told him. He says, God brought me here, even though you sold me into slavery. It was the Lord who did this. And today I want to show you something else about the presence of God that I learned through the Bible. One of the things that you and I need to be excited about too, because what I want to talk to you today is that God's presence is your greatest weapon. God's presence, you know, this evening a song, I forget the name of the artist, but she has a song that says, your presence is my weapon. I don't know, I do not know if you ever thought about the presence of God as your weapon. So in other words, it's like, that's really all you need. If it's with you, you don't need to be frightened. You don't need to be afraid. And so I want to bring that up to us this morning, because this is a story of Joshua. You know Joshua. Remember the young man, Moses' assistant or aide? Joshua, which means, by the way, his name means Yahweh saves. Joshua is equivalent to Yeshua in the New Testament. So Joshua is the leader that God selected to bring the Israelites into the land of the promise. Remember, Moses did not make it to the land of the promise. He died way before they crossed the Jordan. And I have a map to show you, to guide you later on. So you understand that Joshua and the Israelites, after they crossed the Red Sea, they went in the wilderness. Now they're heading west because they had to cross this Jordan River. And then the moment they pass the Jordan, they are in the land that the Lord God told them that he will give to them. The land, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that it was the Canaanites and Jebusites and Hittites, all those Amorites that used to live there. So Joshua is going to be the man that God is going to use to fight those people. Because in order for Joshua to inherit, in order for the Israelites to inherit the land, they needed to get rid of all those Ites, Canaanites, Jebusites, Perizzites, all those people that were there. So Joshua, if you will, is like a military leader. And I love what the Lord told him, because guess what? We can use this sermon for the beginning of a year, because you're about to enter the land. You're about to have a new chapter of your life, and you're going to face a lot of challenges, and you might not be sure what's going to happen tomorrow. But the Lord said, hey, as I was with Moses, I'm going to go with you. And go with me again to that text in Joshua chapter 1. So you see the instructions of God to this man, Joshua. I'm reading from the ESV this time. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said, Yahweh, or Jehovah said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And check out verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Man, what a promise. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, because just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, God's presence. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And then verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God's presence, success for his people. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Man, I don't know about you, but isn't that interesting? Joshua's been around with Moses when he saw the parting of the Red Sea. He's been around when he saw the Lord fighting on their behalf. He was Moses' assistant. So Joshua also went with Moses, in case you did not know this, to get the tablets. Because when Moses is coming down, they hear the party going on. And Joshua is the one who asks, it doesn't sound like this. This is the crying of war. And this is when they were worshiping a golden calf. Joshua was in the mountain too with Moses. He was Moses' assistant. And now Moses is gone. And now it's Joshua's turn to lead the Israelites into the land that the Lord swore. But I love about this, as I was with Moses, and you seeing how God was with Moses. Remember chapter 33 says that God talked to Moses just like you talk to a person face to face. As I was with Moses, I'm with you. Get ready. Cross the Jordan with these people. You're going to cause this nation to inherit the land. What a promise. The Lord promised to go with Joshua, to be with him. And then he instructed Joshua, and he marked out the territory for Israel. Is that wherever the sole of your foot tread upon, I will give that land to you. And I have a map. Maybe Josiah can bring that map, so you have an idea what it is, kind of territory the Lord was giving to Israel. So before that one, maybe you went ahead already. Go back. Because that's later on we're going to talk about that one in chapter 7. Thank you. So here we got, he's going to take, you know, they're coming from the west. No, they're coming from the east, and they're going west because they got to cross the Jordan where you see the Dead Sea, the line. And so you see, those are the 12 sons of Jacob, the tribes of Israel. But before they inhabited that was inhabited by Ammonites, Canaanites, Jebusites, and so forth. So the Lord said, this is the land that I'm going to give to you. And he set out, he marked it out for them. And then he says, get ready. And God promised Joshua that no one will be able to stand against you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, can you imagine God said to you, no one is going to be able to fight to you because I'm with you. Because he is your greatest weapon. I don't know about you, but when I read that, God is saying, if I'm with you, that's all you need. And how often do we forget? How often we need to be reminded, because he says, I'm with you just as I was with Moses, no man will be able to come against you. This is a great promise. You're about to go fight powerful enemies. There were people intimidated by the Hittites. Talk about the Hittites back in those days. We're talking about like Al-Qaeda and something. You know, people like, whoa. You know, it's like, and Joshua is about to go fight all those people. And the Lord says, no one is going to be able to come against you because I'm with you. And I'm going to give you success. The Lord will be with him the same way that he was with Moses. And then I love that. I will not leave you. It's a great promise. I will not forsake you. Get ready for the challenge, Joshua. The moment they cross it, they will pass the Jordan. Now each Joshua will have to later on give the land to each of those tribes, like an allotment. Just each one go to their territory. So the promise of the Lord Yahweh made to Joshua. He will be with him. The only thing that Joshua needed to do was to be strong and courageous. Why? You need to be strong. You say, I cannot make that for you, the Lord said. Be strong and courageous, but I'm going to go with you. There's still fighting that needs to be done. I'm going with you. And I would do the fighting, but you had to go. You see, God is so powerful. He could have just get the Israelites and just planted them in the land with no problem because he's God. He can do whatever. But he needed them to go there. He needed them to go and fight. He needed them to trust him. And so he said, go, take possession of the land. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous, brave. For you shall cause these people to inherit the land. I will never leave you nor forsake you. All that Joshua needed to do is to be strong and courageous. In other words, be fearless. Don't be intimidated by those people that you're about to face now. Because I'm with you. And if I'm with you, I'm your greatest weapon. I love what the Lord said. Do not depart from the book of the law that Moses gave you. You see, Joshua needed to heed God's instructions. Meditate on it day and night. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. I love that. Meditate on it day and night. The word meditate is not the idea that we have today that you just get like this. That's not meditation in the biblical way. Meditation in the biblical way is the word chewing. You know when like you're like really getting this food and you're tasting, you're like thinking about, you're chewing on whatever it is you're reading. That's the word for meditating in the Hebrew. Meditate on what you're reading. Kind of like really pause and reflect about what you're reading. Think about it. Meditate on it, night and day, so that you may be careful to do according to what is written, so you may be successful. So why was it important for Joshua to not depart from the book of the law? In order for Joshua to know what the Lord required, what he demanded, he needed to know the manual, the instructions. You know, everything you buy today has a manual. Now, I know some of us, we like to take an adventure and try to assemble something without the manual, and later on we get in trouble. It's like, hold on. And then we have to back. The manual will save you a lot of headaches. You go and you read it. So find out what it says before you actually start assembling. You know, there was an office chair that we bought, and it was like, I was just like looking for the manual. I could not find it. And finally, you know, step 1, 2, 3, everything was there laid out. So, and I was successful in assembling that chair because I follow the instructions, the manual. So the Lord said to Joshua, do not let this book of the law, you need to know what it says so that you be careful to obey what is written on it. Then you will be successful everywhere you go. Isn't that interesting? Joshua's success depended upon his obedience to the law. Joshua's success as a leader depended upon his heeding God's instruction. In other words, what the Lord was giving Joshua was a manual for success. Everything he needed to know to have a prosperous and successful life was written in God's manual. Here, don't let this book of the law depart from you. Why? Why is that important? Because you know exactly what the Lord requires you. You know every step to follow. You know what He's like, what He expects of you as a leader, as a person. Everything is written down there. All you got to do is open it and read it. And then He said, then when you do that, then you will be prosperous, successful in everything that you do in this life. He needed that book of guidance. He needed that GPS now that he's going to have in order for him to know how to navigate, how to fight those people that he's about to wage war against. So Joshua's success as a leader depended upon his obedience to God's law, to God's instructions. All he needed to do was to follow what he says. This is the reason why the Lord said to him, "Do not let the book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be successful everywhere you go." You see, this book of the law will give Joshua knowledge of God and what the Lord expected of him and his people. You remember, there were a lot of laws to follow there. So almost think about the book of law that we might have as a nation. You know, I mean, it's easy to violate a law. You don't know. I always think about New York. In New York, you don't turn right at a red light unless it says. In Jersey, it's the opposite. You go to a stop light, and if it's red, you can make a right. But so you see, every state has different laws. So the book of the law would tell Joshua, this is what people need to do, how to behave, everything in order for them to be successful as they go and possess the land. Because you can get in trouble if you don't know the law. You know, how many people are like, "Oh, I didn't know you're not so," but you didn't study the law of New York before you moved here. And now you study the law. Don't meditate on it before you go somewhere so you know what is the law of the land. So that you don't fail, so that you be successful in doing what a good citizen is supposed to be doing. So this is the manual that the Lord is giving Joshua for his people. And then he reminds him again. Look, read with me verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God's going with us should cause us to live fearless in this world. If it's our greatest weapon, why are you afraid? God's going with you, God's going with me, should cause me to live fearless in this world, because He's greater than anything else that can come in this world. He's greater than any obstacle, than any challenger that might come against me. If He's with me, who can come against me? And so you and I need to understand, that's one thing. God's promise to go with you, to be with you, just like He's saying that to Joshua. So all He said, be strong and don't be afraid. Be fearless in this world because I am with you. Maybe, my friend, maybe you need to hear those words from God today. Because just like He told Joshua, He says, he's promising to go and to be with God's people. I am with you. And that's all you and I need, truly. I mean, I could have concluded that sermon right there. I mean, what else can I say? If He's with you, why are you afraid? That's what David did not understand, why the Israelites were panicking when Goliath is coming. And it's like, why are you guys like, could I go fight him? Because David understood, I'm not going to fight by myself. One greater. That's why he told Goliath, you come against me with javelin and whatever, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And if the Lord is with you, He is your greatest weapon. That's why he told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. My friends, maybe you need to hear the words of the Lord today. Maybe you need to familiarize yourself with His presence, because if He promises to go with you, there's no time to panic. No matter what's going on in this world right now, no matter if, yes, we are still in the pandemic, but if He's going with us, the pandemic ain't nothing, because our God is greater. Joshua was about to face great challenges before taking possession of the land. He will be fighting against great enemies. But the Lord told him, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, because I am with you. My friends, when you read the whole book of Joshua, you see how God gave Joshua success. And it was true. Joshua did not depart from the book of the law. When you go into chapter 24, remember, he's the one that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love because it says Israel served God during the lifetime of Joshua because he was such a great leader. He was such a great leader and challenged the people. We're going to be faithful to the Lord because he is our God. He's been faithful to us and he's been fighting our battles. The Lord gave Joshua success. He prospered in everything he did because he followed his manual. He followed the Lord's instruction. But it's interesting, when I was preparing the sermon, when I was reading the book of Joshua, I came to chapter 7, and then I was all confused. Maybe you've been reading the Bible, and sometimes you come to places like, what's going on here? Chapter 1, no man is going to be able to come against you. Chapter 7, Joshua is losing a battle. And then I was just like, hold on a moment, what's going on? So the other maps, Josiah, that you have, so I'm going to show you something right here, because I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. God already said, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to bring you successful to the land. Nobody's going to come against you. And then chapter 7, Joshua doesn't understand, because we're losing a battle. We actually ran away from the people of Ai. See, Gilgal and Jericho, remember the story of Jericho? That, you know, they went around 7 times because Jericho was a city built by walls, and the Lord told Joshua, you don't have to fight, just go around and blow trumpets. I mean, again, not a great military strategy, but that's what the Lord told him, and Joshua did exactly. And guess what? Blowing trumpets, the walls of Jericho collapsed. Israel came and took possession. Amazing. And there was like gold, silver, plunder, and you know, now they take that with them. So the Lord gave victory to Jericho. That's chapter 6. Now they were in Jericho and they needed to fight this people of Ai. A-I. It's pronounced Ai. So apparently the people of Ai, they were not that strong. You know, so Joshua from Jericho, he sent 2 spies to spy out Ai. And so the spy came back and reported to Joshua and said, you know what, don't send the whole army. We got this. Send maybe a couple of 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers, and you know, because they're not that powerful. We got him. They told Joshua, don't send the whole army. So Joshua sent about 3,000 soldiers, and they could not overpower the people of Ai. They're running away. In fact, the Bible says that the people of Ai killed like 36 people from Israel. Joshua, he fell flat on his face, like he doesn't understand. I mean, remember the Lord told me that he would be with me the same way that he would be with Moses, and that nobody's going to be able to come against me? What's going on? Why am I losing this battle right now? Go with me now to chapter 7. I wasn't even understanding that. I was like, okay, I just read chapter 1. It's like, no, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Nobody's going to come against you. But then chapter 7, this is a different story here. What's going on? Let me read to you chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord unto the evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought these people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we have been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? Joshua is not understanding what's going on. And he just, the Ark of the Covenant, remember that chest looking thing? That was symbolized the presence of God amongst the Israelites. He goes in there and he falls flat on his face until evening, because it's like, Lord, I mean, we just got defeated by the people of Ai. This is not what I remember you told me a while ago that I'd be with you. Now, you know what the problem was? When they overcame Jericho, there was a family from the tribe of Judah, family of Achan. They took some of the devoted things that belong to God. You know, every time you conquer a people, you bring whatever goods they have. That's called the plunder. So you bring that. So many of the things, when the Israelites will conquer somebody, they will bring that, and that will be dedicated to God as a devoted thing to the Lord. So some of these people, when they overcame Jericho and they hid with them, they did not bring that to the treasury of the Lord. They kept that for themselves. They stole. So, you know, they go to battle, and now they cannot win. You know why? The Lord revealed that to Joshua, what the problem was, because there was sin in the camp. Now, you see another lesson about God's presence. He's going to go with us, but you had to play by His rule. For God to give you success, you had to be able to do what He says, because the moment you start doing your own thing, God is not going to prosper you. God is not going to bless you. Like it is the case. Remember, chapter 1, I'm going to go with you. No man is going to be able to come against you. Chapter 7, we lost the battle. And Joshua, that's like, he didn't understand. Why? Because the people of Achan, they did that. It's almost like nobody else knows what we did. But God always knows. He always knows. And so, the Lord revealed to Joshua what the problem is. Look at verse 10 through 13. Remember, Joshua is like, Lord, like he's pleading with God. Like, now all the other Amorites are going to know what happened and what's going to happen of your great name. Lord, I don't understand. Then the Lord said to Joshua, verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Why are you downcast? Remember that? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Get up, Joshua. Then he said, Israel has sinned. This is what the Lord said. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among them with their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before the enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. Now, one of the saddest words you will ever hear in the Bible is this one. I will be with you no more. Unless, you see, that's one thing you and I need to understand. Many of the commands of God, many of the promises are always conditioned. It's always conditional. You know, you're going to be successful, but if you do what I'm telling you, you follow what the book says. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves or tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. When you read that story, when you conclude that Joshua as a leader had to get, he didn't know who did it. He didn't know who stole the things. The Lord said, there's sin in the camp. And that's why Israel could not stand against the people of Ai. So tribe by tribe, they had to come. And then later on, family by family. And he was a descendant of Judah. Somebody whose name was Achan, his family. He's the one who stole some of the devoted things that belonged to God. And he kept it for himself. So eventually he came. And you see, it's interesting. When you steal something from God, at that moment you become liable for destruction yourself. That was the punishment for the family. Can you imagine? They all had to die in order for God to go with Israel again. You see the severity of that crime, the severity of that problem? Because of what they did, a lot of people died in Israel. And now, they won't be able to make it. They won't be able to go into the land because the Lord demanded that they be killed. They killed all his family. I mean, that's how serious God is. You see, he's going with you in the presence, but he said you had to play by my rules. And that's what they lost. So he told Joshua, consecrate the people. In other words, set the people apart. And so, like I said, you read the whole story. Finally, he confessed what he did. And the Lord now is going to be able to go with Israel again. So God said he would not go with them. He said, they broke my covenant. They broke the agreement that we had, that I will be your God and they will be my people. And now they could not stand against the enemies. They stole and they lie, the Lord said. And now they themselves became liable for destruction. You see, many of the people that embark on the journey to the promised land, many of them did not make it because many times they rebel against God. There was another couple of families that the earth opened up and swallowed them because there were a couple people, by the way, even in the journey, Aaron and Miriam complained about Moses. And the Lord heard that and God made him sick. Because you and I need to understand, when we ask God to come with us, He will. But you also need to understand that He expects you and I to be faithful to the covenant, to be faithful to the agreement that we have. Otherwise, the very thing that's supposed to bless us might bring punishment or might bring God's wrath instead of the blessing, like it is the case here in Joshua in chapter 7. Instead of God's blessing, they will get God's curse or wrath because they broke His covenant. And the Lord said, unless you take away what's the devoted things, unless you take that away, I will no longer go with you. And like I said, those people died. Those people that stole the sacred things and that lied about it, they died at the camp that day. See, God promised to go with you, but you must follow His rules. You must be faithful to His covenant, or you can find yourself fighting against God. He will fight for us, but if we disobey Him, He will fight against us. Don't be surprised, because that's what He told one of the churches in Revelation. He said, if you don't repent, He said, I will come to you with a sword that comes out of my mouth. To do what? To wage war against them. Yes, God's promise, I mean, His presence is an amazing thing. It's our greatest weapon. But as a weapon, it's either going to give us victory or it's not either going to punish us when we disobey His command. So now Joshua understood. Now Joshua knew why they lost the battle. It wasn't his fault. Somebody in the camp brought disgrace to Israel. God told Joshua it was because the sinning Israel that they had lost the battle. God told Joshua that they needed to consecrate themselves. And also, you know, when there's sin, all you got to do, people, is confess it to the Lord. And then you are guaranteed His presence again. You know, but the Bible talks about how we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes if He's already grieved, you can pray all you want. You can fast. He ain't listening until you say, Lord, forgive me. I blew it. I messed up. You know, and then now He's going to go with you to prosper you and to do things on your behalf, not against you. That's one thing that, you know, I was wrestling with preparing the series of God's presence, because I realized sometimes we don't understand what it means to have God on our side. We don't understand what it means to dwell in the presence of God. You know, we sometimes we come to church and we don't even have His presence in our mind. We have issues or we're thinking about something else. And God is like, we don't even care. When you invite God into your midst, into your family, it's an amazing thing. It's the greatest blessing. But remember, having Him there, there are conditions. You better follow what He's asking you to do. Otherwise, the very thing that is meant to bless you might cause you curse. Because now God is angry with you, just like He was with Israel. By the way, Israel was God's chosen people. And look at what the Lord did to them. Because I will go with you, but you must follow what the book of the law said. You must follow His instructions. Otherwise, you might not experience success. Just like the Israelites were not successful against the people of Ai. An enemy that was not that strong and still defeated the Israelites because the Lord did not go with them because of what was happening. See, God promised to go with us and fight our battles. Church, my friends, those of you listening, yes, He's going to go with you and fight your battles, but you must be faithful to His commands. You must follow His instructions. Otherwise, He's not going to help you. Why would God help you when you're neglecting and ignoring what He's telling you to do? Think about that for a moment. Why will He help us when I'm not playing by His rule? Why will He bless America when America is not playing by God's rule? Think about that for a moment. God bless America, but you don't want God in the picture. So don't stop saying that you want Him to bless you, because He's going with us can be a great blessing, but if you're not going to play by His rule, it can be your greatest demise. We as church, we must follow His instruction so that He will always be in our midst, so that we continue to be our greatest weapon in this world, so that we enjoy His favor. God is going with you and I, but He's also saying that you and I need to be strong and courageous. If we show that we are fearless, if we show that we are fearful, He's not going to help us in this situation. That was the case of the Israelites when they faced Goliath. What, 40 days? You have this huge headache and you cannot do anything about it because you forgot who you represented. You forgot that the Lord is greater than a giant. For 40 days, they had no idea what to do until David had to come to the camp and remind the Israelites, I go and fight it because I go in the name of the Lord. What does this uncircumcised Philistine think? That he dared to defy the armies of the living God. Man, that's fearless. I go fight him. So, if the Lord said, be strong and courageous because I'm with you, He expects that from you and I. If the Lord said, do not be afraid, be fearless, He truly expects that. The moment that you and I are panicking, by the way, the moment that you are fearful and concerned, at that moment, the Lord led you by yourself. Now, think about it. He's still there, but your concern is because you're looking at everything. You're looking at the picture through your lens, through your eyes, through your perspective, and you forgot about the great I am. The moment that you encounter and you feel fear for whatever situation, the moment you feel fearful, frightened, like, you know, and you're concerned, and you don't have any peace, check it out. There's some disconnection between you and the Lord right there. And I'm pretty sure that maybe, you know, if you might get offended by what I'm saying, but you have to, if you get offended, that's okay with me. You have to prove me that I'm wrong about this one. The moment that you experience fear and you are not at peace, if you are a child of God, catch this now, watch this. If you don't feel peace, something that He said that He will give you, if you don't experience joy and that you fearful, frightened, then what's going on? Just like chapter 7 of Joshua, there's a disconnection between you and God. At that moment, you're looking at the situation not through the eyes of God, but through your eyes, because the Lord already told you, and I say that again, He said, do not be afraid. He said, be strong and courageous because I'm with you. Then why are you fearful, church? Why are you intimidated by the challenges that you will face this year? If He says, I'm with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, but I needed to hear that. You know, maybe I'm preaching this sermon to myself because I need to be strong and courageous. I need not to be frightened by anything that's going to happen in 2021, because the Lord says, I'm going with you, but He expects me to follow His rule. He expects me to follow His instruction so that He will give me success, so that He will give me not failure, but that He will prosper me whatever it is that I do. Amazing. Joshua, that was the only time that he lost the battle, because there was sin in the camp. And after that, he conquered all those people. The Israelites got to enjoy the land. And at the end of the day, he told the Israelites, before they left to enjoy the territory, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, because it's the Lord that did that for us. He fought our battles. The Lord always being with us. My friends, as I conclude this series about God's presence, remember, all the way from the Genesis, all the way through the Bible, God's presence and God's faithfulness will always be constant. That does not change. What changes is what we do sometimes. What changes is whether we're going to be faithful to His covenant or not. That changes. But God is unchanging. He's everlasting. And He's promising that He will always go with His people. And if you are one of His people, all He said, be strong and courageous, because I'm with you. And if I'm with you, I'm your greatest weapon. Amen. Would you pray with me?